stand. The people are being told Christians are guilty of terrible crimes. And the most extreme lie is Christians are violent and evil, so we must kill them. In Central and South America, the drug cartels target Christian leaders who refuse to take bribes. I want to read you something here. This was just written days ago, April 24th, 2024. This is in Egypt. This is from the International Christian Concern Organization. Around 11 o'clock p.m. on Tuesday, April 23rd, Islamic extremists set fire to several homes and shops owned by Coptic Orthodox Christians in five villages. As the flames grew, the extremists attempted to prevent Christians from leaving their burning homes. However, authorities reported that there were no fatalities, but that was not true. The attack occurred after word spread those residents of the village, which is the home of 3,000 Christian families, had obtained a permit to construct a church building. Some associated with the church received threats after the building permit was issued, prompting the archbishop to alert authorities. Despite promises of safety, the cries of help from the archbishop and the local Coptic community went unanswered as the attack unfolded. Security forces arrived only after the attack, leaving a yet unknown number of Christians to perish, that perished in their burning homes. Extremists later shared a video on social media showing Coptic homes on fire as a song of praising the attack played in the background. Early Wednesday morning, the archbishop posted on Facebook that authorities had contained the fire and arrested the suspects. Now here's the good news. Even under pressure and persecution, the church around the world continues to show strength and grows, even amongst persecution. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you that you are in control. You know yesterday, today, and you're going to know tomorrow. We realize, Lord, that all nations will come against Israel. Not all people, but all nations will. But we know that you are victorious. And those that stand with you see victory. I thank you, Lord, for the kingdom of God and all the strong believers that are part of it. Help me speak clearly, clearly. In Yeshua's name, amen. So I want to talk to you about our country, not other countries. I want to talk to you about the United States of America. The way I see things, our country is in extreme turmoil, and I suspect it's going to get worse. Our country is not only divided politically, but we are seeing anti-Semitism, anti-Israel, and anti-Christianity on the rise, especially in many universities, and I heard even in some high schools. We're also seeing how many young people have become anti-American as siding with known terrorists who hate America. We're living in a time where our nation's Jewish and Christian morals are being challenged to the point where we as a nation are beginning to see certain sins as normal. We're being told to accept what we know to be good as bad and what we know to be bad as good. And it's all being shoved down the throat of believers. And I feel persecution of the body of Christ could be really around the corner. It's actually already started, but it's going to be bigger around the corner. I really believe this. In 2 Timothy 3:12, it tells us that everyone who wants to live a godly life in Messiah Yeshua will be persecuted. And this has been true in many countries in various levels throughout the ages. But in America, there has been a subtle shift in the past 50 years, and we're all faced with it today. You know what I'm talking about? I know you do. Who was it who said, "Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven"? Who said that? Jesus. Yeshua. Who was it who said, blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me? Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Who said that? Yeshua said that. So church history teaches us that persecution always makes the body of believers stronger. You get that? Because persecution seems to drive away those who are not true believers, who attend a congregation from true believers. And sometimes persecution will actually cause the body of Messiah to expand, like we see it in China. They're persecuted and they're expanding something fierce. So, how are we to respond to persecution, knowing that our God is sovereign? How do we respond? Here's a suggestion. I truly believe belonging to a strong community of believers who will pray for you is a strong help in times, especially those of persecution, personal persecution. For example, Peter and John, who were put in prison because they were proclaiming the gospel. In Acts 4, verse 23, click. I'm old-fashioned. Click. On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Notice what they prayed for. As we read verses 24 to 29. Click. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Now they quoted Psalm 2, verse 1 to 2 here. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth take their stand, and the rulers gather together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided before should happen. Think about that one. They did what your power and your will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. So, question. Did they pray that Peter and John would no longer be persecuted? Did they pray that?
No.
Did they even mention persecution? No. But did they experience it? Yes. What they did was to believe in the sovereignty of God, and they prayed for Peter and John's boldness to do the will of God, even through the persecution. The way I see it, God purposely allows us to face difficult and different kinds of trials, even persecution, to strengthen us. And I can say this because of James 1, verse 2 to 4. Click. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know, this is something you're to know this, and I want you to know this way ahead of time before you really experience them, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so you may be mature and complete and lacking nothing. Listen, if you don't go anything through life, everything is peachy keen. You never experience trials, persecution, any type of weirdness because of your beliefs. You're going to stay a baby Christian. Fact is, the trial of persecution will always test your faith. I've actually seen where the slightest of persecution caused some believers to cave in, and as a result, they spiritually fell back and became extremely worldly. Like Peter and John, when we face persecution or trials, we should let those struggles bring us together with other believers. You know, like a cat, when a cat gets injured, you find him in the middle of the road all by himself, it seems, or a side of the road. But we're not cats, and we're to congregate together. We're sheep. What do sheep do? They congregate together. That's their defense. They come together. Ecclesiastes 4, verse 9. For two are better than one, obvious, because they have a good return for their work. If one falls down, his friend can help him up. But pity the man who falls and has no one to help him up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? The one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. And I believe we can get through persecution, when we come together in our congregation and we pray for one another. We're to share in our burdens. When going through a heavy trial, it's those who know you will intensively pray on your behalf. And that's why it's important to belong to a strong congregational family and not just be a tumbleweed in the body of Messiah. You know what a tumbleweed is? Tumbleweed, you see them in Texas. They don't have, or Arizona, they don't have any root. And they just blow with the wind. And there are many tumbleweeds in the body of Messiah. I'm telling you, they have no connection. No connection. I'll tell you, when Pat and I were in Florida, for a while there, I was thinking, man, I don't want to be a tumbleweed. Because we went to a couple different congregations over there, and I felt like a tumbleweed. I had no roots. You know, nobody knew me. So we found the startup congregation, and we started attending there week after week after week. And when we come back next year, again, I'll attend that same congregation. I don't want to be a tumbleweed in the body of Messiah. So sure, it's right to pray for the needs of those outside the kingdom of God. Now, personally, I feel more heartfelt. I feel more empathy when I pray for the needs of our of our congregational family. Why is that? Because I personally know you. In my heart, I share in your dilemma. I mean, we get asked to pray for people we don't even know. Do we pray? Yes. Do I have a lot of empathy? A portion. But when I pray for people who are part of our congregation, family members, well, I know that we pray with empathy. Does that sound crude? No, but it's just the way it is. I want to end with a scripture, 1 Peter 4:12. Now I want to read this out of the Message. Friends, when life gets really difficult, don't jump to the conclusion that God isn't on the job. Instead, be glad that you are in the very thick of what Christ experienced. This is a spiritual refining process. The glory, just with glory around the corner. If you're abused because of Christ, count yourself fortunate. It's the Spirit of God and His glory in you that brought you to the notice of others. If they're on you because you broke the law or disturbed the peace, that's a different matter. I like one version, the NIV says, if you suffer as a Christian or as a believer, do not be ashamed. But if you suffer because you're speeding and a cop gives you a ticket and you say, I'm persecuted, no, you're not. Or you've got on your tires are warranted for 70,000 miles and you got 140,000 miles and you get two flat tires and you say, man, the devil must be against me. No, he's not. Your tires just wore out. The devil had nothing to do with it. If they're on you because you broke the law or disturbed the peace, that's a different matter. But if it's because you're a Christian or a Messianic Jew, Don't give it a second thought. Be proud of the distinguished status reflected in that name. That says it all. If I ask how many of you have had family members or friends or people you've worked with that have, I'm not saying persecuted, because we hardly ever receive a real big persecution, but they made you feel bad because of what they said about your faith. I wonder how many would raise your hands. How many? Let's just see. Almost all of us, yeah, see. We've all faced something, but it's not really heavy persecution. I believe heavy persecution probably is around the corner. Are you going to stand or are you going to cave in? That's the question. We need to prepare ourselves. So here's the point of this message. This is the whole point of this message. Prepare yourself. Prepare your mind and your heart to face your trials, even persecution, as a follower of Yeshua. We have to prepare ourselves ahead of time. So when it really happens, we put our chin up and we do the will of God, regardless. You understand what I'm saying? Let's all stand together, please. Heavenly Father, I pray that this message resonates, that we prepare ourselves, our hearts, and our minds to face what could be around the corner. Give us boldness to do your will, regardless of our environment. But let us not be stupid, but be wise. In Yeshua's name. Yevarechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha. Yer Adonai panav alecha v'ichunecha. Yaseh Adonai panav alecha v'yasem lacha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Peace in your heart, regardless of what might be coming our way. In Yeshua's precious name, we all said, amen. God bless you. I love you a lot, really a lot. Hey, I guess we've got...